No, there's a reverse to that also. Through his precious blood, he made you worthy. His blood made you worthy. Oh, somebody get a hold of that. All the people that one time or another came against you in your life and denied your royalty. That's a bunch of hooey. Would you please go with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Because I brought you some really good news today. Anybody ready for some good news? We've heard some already today. Well, this is the 12 o'clock feature hour right here. We saved the best for last. I don't know about the we, but we're here together. And I'd like to read this out of the New Living Translation. I've come to like that translation. I don't use it all the time, but sometimes I find it helpful because it talks the way we speak and it doesn't lose its power. It doesn't lose its effectiveness. It doesn't lose its meaning in the translation. Verse 11, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. You think about your life, all the good things that have come. It's because Christ is your high priest. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption. Until Tuesday. Oh, I get the wrong board. How long? How long is it? Forever? Eternity? Okay, I just didn't want you to miss that. Under the old covenant or the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciousness from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And now I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 10, the very next one, verses 10 through 14. And as we read this, please open your heart and receive this. Not just a little crack, but really take this to heart. In accordance with this, God's will, this is important. Oh, this is the New Matthew Bible. In accordance with God's will, we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Sanctified means to be made holy, declared to be just and righteous because of the blood of Christ. That's who you are now. Sanctified means set apart for God's service as a peculiar people. And I know maybe some of us are a little more peculiar than others. The Bible says we're peculiar people. We're guilty of that. We don't follow the ways of this world. In verse 11, and every priest is ready, daily ministering, and repeatedly offers one manner of offering that can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down forever on the right hand of God, and from henceforth waits until his enemies be made his footstool. And here's the one. Are you ready? For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are sanctified. That's you. Amen. Forever. Made holy, made perfect, made complete, declared to be righteous, nothing lacking, nothing missing in Christ. And he did that for you out of his love. That's the sacrifice that made all the difference. And that's why when we did that song, he was the only one deemed worthy to open the seals. And that weren't a pretty picture when you read what were in the seals. And he's worthy. And then I made the comment, you're worthy too. You see, our worth isn't measured in how we see each other. It's how he sees us. The price the Redeemer was willing to pay for each of our lives. Have a few notes, and then we'll serve our main course before dinner downstairs. The benefits of the blood of Jesus. I found 28, but I'm only going to read 7. Because it's easier to remember them a little at a time than all of them, okay? The covenant of the blood of Jesus offers powerful benefits. The old covenant was confirmed by sacrificing innocent animals. Their blood became a sign of mercy as the animal became the substitute for the guilty party. The scapegoat. The priest would lay hands on the scapegoat and turn him loose in the wilderness, and that was like our sins are being carried away on the goat in our place. Then Jesus brought a new covenant and his own blood. All of the covenants made in the past had limitations, but there's no limitation with the covenant we have with Jesus Christ, because the death he died was once for all. He won't ever have to do that again, and there will never be another covenant like the new covenant. There will never be another sacrifice like the one that was given for us. The covenant of Jesus is an everlasting covenant. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And we've used that scripture before because it's always important to remember the blood and the bread. We don't just pass it out and not bring the word to go with it, because when you put the word with it, the word and the spirit and the blood all come together in that one precious moment. A covenant is an agreement made between two or more people with terms and conditions attached. The covenant Jesus made with us is much more than a verbal agreement or contract. Jesus made a powerful statement on the cross. He died as a sin offering for us, crucified for our iniquities and pierced for our sins. When Jesus laid down his life for ours, he made an eternal covenant with us that can never be broken, undermined, or reversed. This is an agreement with God himself. God is the one who initiated the covenant. He extended it for us to have an opportunity to participate in it. And it cannot be revoked because the blood of his Son has already been shed. The covenant we have with God is similar to a marriage covenant. Have any of you ever heard of covenant marriage? I've had the joy of performing a few of those, or officiating a covenant marriage, and it's quite different than a traditional marriage. You had one? Can you give a brief, short thing of how that goes compared to the others kind of marriages? I don't put you on the spot.
I don't think I can. But...
It's a lot deeper, isn't it? Yes. And one thing that's brought out in a covenant marriage is when the bride and the groom are standing there and they're repeating their vows to each other. Part of that covenant marriage is, and they're both believers, the wife is not just his wife. She's his sister in Christ. And to the bridegroom, the husband, is not just her husband. He becomes her brother in Christ. And when you come together in a covenant like that, it takes your marriage to a whole new level of appreciation. You find it much more difficult to rip and tear at one another, to find each other's faults and throw them in their faces, which happens so often. It happens too often, and it shouldn't. But a deeper awareness of that covenant, it represents God's covenant with his people, his bride. And however we treat each other as husbands and wives is the truth about how we really think about Jesus. And if that's not a sobering thought, I can't come up with another one. So today, when we have the communion elements, maybe in your hearts, those of you that are here with your spouses or family, it might be a good opportunity with a new year coming to think about a renewal in your hearts for each other. Nothing that needs to be spoken, but just something that needs to be followed through so that it's like pouring fresh oil on something precious and beautiful. And those of you that aren't married yet, keep your hopers filled. All right, here are seven of the most common benefits of Jesus' blood. Forgiveness, number one on the list. And we're told to forgive as he forgave us. So if we don't, then we don't really understand how much we were forgiven for. Cleansing, the blood. I use Ivory soap sometimes as an example. They boast and brag that they're 99.44% pure. While they're far short, Jesus' blood was more than enough, but it was what was required of him to pay for our wrongdoing. Redemption, purchase, bought, paid for, ransom, based on the worth that God saw in your life. It's hard for us to see ourselves as he sees us, but we need to do that. We probably all have a favorite name for ourselves. Doesn't always line up with Scripture. And I'll move on to the next one. Justification. That word means just as if I never sinned. Can you imagine how God is so spoken of when it's time to beat up the saints? Why not talk about what the truth is? Why not tell you right to your face that God sees you justified just as if you never wronged, just as if you never sinned? Because that's what Christ's blood did for you. And his body was offered and beaten and scourged for what should have been us. And he stood in the gap and took that abuse for each one of you. Sanctification, set apart, made holy for the Master's use. God has indwelled you by the Holy Spirit, and you're now a holy vessel. God wouldn't have done that had he not first cleansed us with his blood, because the Holy Spirit never dwelt in anyone before except Jesus. And now he dwells in each of us as believers because of the work of the cross, and the blood was shed to make you holy for his presence to dwell in you and among you. Peace. No more thinking God's mad at you. No more thinking that he doesn't approve of you, that you don't measure up, that you're not good enough. And so there was always turmoil. But this peace only comes through Christ. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. And that peace he made available to you. And sometimes we let it come and go when we want to do our own thing, or we get careless and let our guard down, and the enemy tries to come and steal that peace away from us. If it weren't there, why did he work so hard to take it away from us? Learn to keep it. Learn to walk in it. And access to the throne. That is so precious when you pray. Your prayers go directly to the Father when you pray in the name of Jesus. I don't want to be religious about it, but I'll tell you what, you're not going to get on your computer and access information without a password. You're not going to gain a lot out of heaven without the password either when you pray. It's the name of Jesus. These are just seven. But when we believe that Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as our Savior and Lord and accept that he died on the cross for our sins, God applies the blood of Jesus on us and reconciles us to himself. Reconciliation, that's another one. God reconciled us to him. That means there's no division, there's no separation. And you know what? He extended that invitation. That's the other thing, how he demonstrated his love. He initiated all of these things. It wasn't our idea. We just have the privilege of participating. And our lives are washed clean. Sin loses its power over us. We're no longer condemned. And our relationship with God is restored. So when we bring the bread and the cup to you this morning, well, actually, it's afternoon now. But don't worry about it. Faith's got everything under control. She's very faithful. I guess I would like to pray before we do this, and then it will come to you. Father, we thank you. We're so thankful to know these things and really know them in our spirit. Because there are those who have not yet experienced the truth about why we do this. It's in remembrance of you and the price you were willing to pay for each of us. Father, thank you that you saw the worth in us. Some of us weren't brought up that way in our homes, and we were treated like cast-offs, throwaways, orphanages, foster homes. But Father, there's a place in your kingdom for each of us, because you made that way and you extended that invitation. Father, help us to just shake off those memories and thoughts of the past. They're rooted and buried a long time ago. And let us put on the new man in Christ, who after you is created in righteousness and true holiness according to your word in Ephesians chapter 2. Father, we're so thankful for the invitation to come and dine at your table today. In Jesus' name, amen.